यशोदानंदन ब्रज जन रंजन यमुन तीरवन छारी हरिबोल यमुन तीरवन छारी जया राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जया राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी गोपी जन्ना वल्लभ गिरवर धारी गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरवर धारी यशोदानंदन ब्रज जन रंजन यशोदानंदन ब्रज जन रंजन यशोदानंदन ब्रज जन रंजन यमुन तीरा वन छारिया यमुन तीरा वन छारिया एवरीवन हो जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारिया जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी शिशिरार मारव की जय विष्णु पार पर मनुष्य परिराज सत्तर सत्तर बाकी स्वामी प्रभुपाद की जय विष्णु पार पर मनुष्य परिराज सत्तर सत्तर सिद्धवाएंगे सरस्वती गोस्वामी महाराज प्रभुपाद की अनंत कोटि वैष्णव वृंद की रामाचरेश्वर हरिदास ठाकुर की प्रेम से गौ श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवा श्री गौर भक्त वृंद की श्री श्री राधा कृष्ण गोप गोविंद श्याम कुंद राधा कुंड गिर की श्री वृंदावन नाम की नवद्वीप मायापुर राम की गंगा माई की यामुन माई की भक्ति देवी की तुलसी देवी की हरि नाम संकीर्तन की बृहत मृदंग की समवेत भक्त वृंद की ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल्ड बॉडीज ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल्ड बॉडीज ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल्ड Bodies. Glory is to Shri Guru, Shri Gauranga, Hari Hari Bo. Sorry. ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ज्ञानतिमरंदस्य ज्ञानांजनशलाकाय चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः. I was born in the darkest ignorance. My spiritual master opened my eyes with the torch of knowledge. I offer my respectful obeisance unto him. Srila Prabhupada ki. Hare Krishna. How's everyone doing? Thank you. This is the place where everything's supposed to be just perfect. Hare Krishna. Confirmation. Okay, today we're looking at Canto 10 of the Srimad Bhagavatam, Chapter 31, the Gopis' Songs of Separation. And we will begin with text 10, and it goes to 14, five verses. And should we just go to the English directly? Yeah, can we do that? Very well. Okay, so text 10.
Translation.
Yeah, I'll go to the translation. The gopis are speaking. Your smiles, your sweet, loving glances, the intimate pastimes and confidential talks that we enjoyed with you, all these are auspicious to meditate upon, and they touch our hearts. But at the same time, O deceiver, they very much agitate our minds. Text number 11. Dear Master, dear lover, when you leave the coward village to herd the cows, our minds are disturbed by the thought that your feet, more beautiful than a lotus, will be pricked by the spiked husks of grain and the rough grass and plants. Text 12. At the end of the day, you repeatedly show us your lotus face, covered with dark blue locks of hair and thickly powdered with dust. Thus, O hero, you arouse lusty desires in our minds. Text 13. Your lotus feet, which are worshipped by Lord Brahma, fulfill the desires of all who bow down to them. They are the ornament of the earth. They give the highest satisfaction. And in times of danger, they are the appropriate object of meditation. O lover, O destroyer of anxiety, please put those lotus feet upon our breasts. And text number 14. Okay. Surata Varnanam Shoka Nashanang Swarita Vinuna Shushtu Chumbitam Itara Raga Vismaranang Nrinang Vitara Vira Nas Te Taramritam Suratta Vardanang Shokanashanang Swarita Venuna Shushta Chumbitam Itra Raga Vismaranang Rinam Vidra Vira Naste Dharamamritam Suratta Vardanang Shokanashanang Swarita Venuna Shushtu Chumbitam Itra Raga Vismaranang Rinam Yadarvira Naste Dharamritam. Surata Vardhanam Shokanashanam.
Svarta Venuna Shushtu Kumbitam.
Svarta Venuna Shushtu Chumbitam.
Itararaga
Vismaranam Rinam. Vitaravira Naste Dhamritam. Suratavardhanam Shokanashanam. Svarita Venuna Shushti Chumbitam. Itararaga Vismaranam Rinam. Vitaravira Naste Dhamritam. Surakavardhanam Shokanashanam. Svarita Venuna Shushti Chumbitam. Raga Smaranam Rinam. Vitaravira Naste Namritam. Vaishnavis. Surata Vardhanam Shokanashanam. Svarata Venuna Shushtam Chumbitam. Itaraga Vismaranam Rinam. Vitaravira Nasthetanam Ritam. Surata Vardhanam Shokanashanam. Svarita Venuna Shushtam Chumbitam. Vidararaga Vismamritam Rinam. Vidaravira Nasthe Tadamritam. Surata Vardhanam Shokavasanam. Svaritam Chumbitam. Vidararaga Vismamritam Rinam. Vidaravira Nasthe Tadamritam. Thank you very much. Surata, conjugal happiness. Vardhanam, which increases. Shoka, grief. Nashanam, which destroys. Swarita, vibrated. Venuna, by your flute. Shushtu, abundantly. Chumbitam, kissed. Itara, other. Raga, attachments. Vismaranam, causing to forget. Rinam, men. Vitara, please spread. Vira, O hero. Naha, upon us. Te, your. Adara, of the lips. Amritam, the nectar. Translation. O hero, kindly distribute to us the nectar of your lips, which enhances conjugal pleasure and vanquishes grief. That nectar is thoroughly relished by your vibrating flute and makes people forget any other attachment. Please repeat. O hero, kindly distribute to us the nectar of your lips, which enhances conjugal pleasure and vanquishes grief. That nectar is thoroughly relished by your vibrating flute and and makes people forget any other attachments. Purport by Srila Prabhupada and his devotees. So Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti's charming commentary on this verse is in the form of a dialogue between the gopis and Krishna. I asked him not to do that. Anyways, the gopis say, "O Krishna, you exactly resemble Dhanvantari, the best of physicians. So please give us some medicine, for we are suffering from the disease of romantic desire for you. Don't hesitate to give us the medicinal nectar of your lips freely without our paying a substantial price. Since you are a great hero in giving charity, you should give it without any payment, even to the most wretched persons. Consider that we are losing our life and that now you can restore us to life by giving us that nectar. After all, you have already given it to your flute, which is simply a hollow bamboo stick." Krishna says, "But the diet of people in this world is the bad one of attachment to wealth, followers, family, and so forth. The particular medicine you've requested should not be given to those who have such a bad diet. But this medicine makes one forget all other attachments. So wonderful is this herbal drug that it counteracts bad dietary habits. Please give that nectar to us, O hero, since you are most charitable. Hare Krishna. Namo Shivaya Krishna Stai Vitare Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swamini Tanamani Namaste Saraswati Devi Kuravani Pricharini Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschachidi Satarini. Hare Krishna. So it's a great fortune for me to speak on behalf of a piece of the Bhagavatam. It's my last day here. Thank you for your mercy that's flowing from all of you. We had a wonderful time here in Vrindavan after the COVID. It's just great. Okay, this chapter is very dear to me because it was the first chapter that was read to me when I was a new devotee. That was 1972, December, Christmas time. And so it's been 50 years. Woo! Yeah, I am. I'm old. The person who read to me this chapter from the Krishna book, actually, his name is P.B. Govinda Swami. You all know him. And he was at that time known as Ayodhyapati. And he read this to me, the whole thing, after I didn't have any sleep the night before. It was my first night of insomnia, and I've had it ever since. So I was so disturbed. The devotees, I was a college student, I was a fine arts student, and I invited them into my apartment. I met them on the street. When I say them, Ayodhyapati and a few other devotees, Vishwakarma, there was Dustadura, Drupada, and Satyahit, all American, Canadian devotees. And actually, Ayodhyapati told me he was from Alabama. He was from the South. And he told me that his father was Elvis Presley's manager. And I thought, oh, wow, that's interesting. Tell me a little bit more. And he said, well, when I was young, Elvis was my babysitter. And he also used to get ice cream for me when I was just a little kid. So time passed on. He told me these things just recently. It was kind of like a reminder. And then when Elvis got really popular in Las Vegas, it was kind of like a second, you know, try for him, I guess you could say, after his initial, let's say, fame that he had so well acquired. he made a second shot, and that was in Las Vegas. So years had passed, and Sean was Yogipati's name, or B.B. Govinda's name. His father met with Elvis and said, "How's Sean doing?" Elvis asked. He said, "Well, he joined the Hare Krishnas." He said, "Well, what's that all about?" "Well, here's the mantra." And so he was quite interested. He was very interested. "Well, that's really good." He was really excited about the fact that one of his dear friends, buddies, the person he babysat, became a monk and became serious in Krishna consciousness. So for whatever it's worth, I just had to tell the story. All right. So it was Yogipati who read this chapter to me. And after reading it, and I was really struggling to keep awake because I was tired from the night before, I thought it was so poetical. It was so colorful. Flowers, people having fun, cowherd boys. I used to milk a cow, you know, when I was a young kid, and for our family cow. And I thought, oh, I could relate to this story somehow. But it seemed like everything was flawless about the story. And something about separation, I couldn't really get it. But I enjoyed hearing about it. And then, so I just thought, my impression was, well, whoever wrote this story, they've got a real creative imagination. I just thought someone wrote it, you know. And then they showed me pictures of Prabhupada, the devotees showed me pictures. And I saw images of an old man, right? Here he'd be in his mid-70s, I imagine. This is Hari Suri's book, by the way. And one thing the devotees said about Prabhupada, they said that, well, he's old, and we can't wait till we get there. And I was shocked. What do you mean? Who wants to be old? Who wants to have wrinkles? And, you know, I looked at the picture of Prabhupada. He had big earlobes and, you know, very, you know, strong features. The mouth was quite big, elongated. And there was a smile. And the nose and everything about him was, you know, to me a little bit homely looking. You know, I'm a materialistic boy, and I just think everyone should look picture perfect, right? So when the devotees were explaining this, "We can't wait till we get to that age." I said, "What do you mean? What are you talking about?" And then they explained that, well, he's very advanced. And that was a strange word for me. Because advanced means you get an advancement, you get a promotion, you get advanced money. So the language by the devotees was very different. Advanced. What do you mean advanced? And they were, well, spiritually progressing. So they go, oh, okay, I get it now. All right, okay. So in other words, you all want to be at that status of your guru, your teacher. Said, well, we'll never get there. We'll never be on his level. But we can definitely do better than we are now. So those were the explanations. I looked at the picture of Prabhupada, which was on my first Back to Godhead magazine that I ever received. And Prabhupada was smiling. So with our string of verses here today, we're looking at the first word, which is Prahasitam. That's in text number 10. And it's about smiling. Smiling is important. In fact, Prabhu, I don't know your name, but before I got up here, I was slightly nervous, still am. But you smiled, and I felt good. All right? So should we smile? Should devotees smile? This is a great image of Prabhupada, and we see all kinds of variety when it comes to images of Prabhupada. Sometimes he looks very stern and firm and almost scary. And then there's also images of him where he's just got this oceanic smile. Says, wow, I like to reflect that if I can. So the smiles that are being referred to here belong to God, to Krishna. He's the one that's smiling, and it's admired by the gopis. The first time we hear about a smile in our foundational literature, Bhagavad Gita, is in chapter 2, text 10, where Arjuna just admitted, "I can't do it. I can't go ahead. I can't go forward with this war. It just doesn't seem to be right. There's nothing here that's right about it. And he gave us a long spiel, this long excuses for why he shouldn't go forward with the battle, even though he's a commander-in-chief and he's a warrior trained from birth. And, you know, by this time, he's senior, he's mature, and so on like that. But he backed off. And he was like a broken man when he said, "Govinda, I shall not fight." And he put his head down, his Gandiva bow was put to his side. He was a broken man. And then Krishna smiled. We know that he smiles when he wants to smile, and he usually does, at least the Krishna that I'm looking at here. I've never seen Krishna Balaram any other way but smiling. So they say, and you probably heard it before, smiling is really important, and it takes more mouth muscles to frown than it does to smile. So we might as well smile more. What do you think? All right. So Krishna was smiling, and why did he do that when Arjuna was sad? And Srila Prabhupada explains in that very chapter that Krishna was actually happy because Arjuna was moving on to becoming his disciple. Shishashriham Sharimam Twam Prapanam. I am your shisha. I am your student. And I'm asking you to tell me what is best for me because I've lost it. My mind has been reeling, my mouth is drying up, and there are tears in my eyes. So I've lost it. So you have to help me. My dear Lord, you must help me. So Krishna was smiling because of the advancement that Arjuna was making. He took a step forward, and that step was, I'm going to accept a guru. I don't know everything. I can't do everything on my own. You know, I'm dependent. I'm not independent. And I realize that more now than ever before. So that's why Krishna was smiling. Just like a teacher, like many of you are teachers, right? Your gurus, your shiksha diksha gurus. Or if not, Vartma Pradarshika guru, you help someone, a new person. And isn't it a good feeling when they go away feeling like relieved? Don't you smile? Perhaps, hey, I feel good. I can have a good rest tonight. You know, I don't have to worry. So I'm just put this down here. So this is what the gopis are recalling, the smile, this feature of the body on the face of Krishna. They're also noting his glances, the movement of his eyes, and where they are moving to. Of course, Krishna is glancing at them, the gopis. Just like some of us are glancing at the little child over here. Right? So, Krishna is constantly moving his eyes, and they attract the hearts of the gopis. In fact, they mention we are agitated. Kshobayanti. We are disturbed. And now the other verses to follow, 11. You are our master, our lover, and when you leave the village to tend to your cows, we are continually being disturbed. Our minds are disturbed. Because it's the way you walk, it's the way you do everything. Like even in the Gita, Arjuna asks, how do I understand a perfect person? How can I understand someone who's Krishna conscious 100%, you know, basically, I'm paraphrasing. How do I understand someone who's very advanced, right? So, in fact, he even asks, how does he sit? How does he walk? You know, and then Krishna answers it, but not with how he walks or how he smiles even. He talks more about the condition of the person who's perfect. A person who's free from attachments. Yeah. So when he was Krishna, I guess he has a walk. And it's something the gopis are really attached to. Right down to the feet. His feet, which are compared to like lotuses. And just like in the Ramayana, we've heard that when it was announced that Ram will be banished to the forest for 13 years, Sita was saying, I'm coming with you. And so did Lakshman, I'm going with you. And their primary concern by Sita and Lakshman was that you're going to go into that forest and you're going to hit prickly areas, there's going to be thorns and it's going to hurt your feet. And so in the same way, same token, the gopis are thinking in the same way, there's going to be prickly things. Prabhupada used the term pinpricks of Maya, pinpricks of the material world. Don't we get hit by them all the time? You know, I mean, I'll walk around, I love Vrindavan, but I'll turn a corner and I hit the pinprick of the interesting smells that are in the atmosphere. Or looking at the garbage, you know. Or just walking along and a tractor with its big wheel will run over your big toe. And then there's a monkey. These are all like, you can perceive them as pinpricks. You know, a little bit of worrisome situation, circumstances. So this is the sentiment of the gopis. They don't want to see anything harmful come to Krishna. So they like when he moves, they don't necessarily like when he leaves the village. They can't wait till he comes back. They're totally immersed. Everything is there absorbed, totally, 100%. And those feet, which are like lotuses, well, Prabhupada explained, the lotus flower is the last most beautiful thing in the world. Even when you cup it like this, this is supposed to be a lotus flower. Can you do this? Can you do it? You can do it. Like this. Yeah. Any dancers around here? It's beautiful. You know, beautiful. And one of the places that I go to is Guyana. And in Guyana, they have the most beautiful lotus flowers. Every canal has hundreds of lotuses. Maybe you'll be enticed to go there someday. So when we see those lotuses, we think of Krishna because there's so much reference given to the lotuses. The feet, the navel, the eyes, practically everywhere. Last most beautiful thing in the material world. You know? And the gopis are suggesting that this is a great meditation for us at your feet. And that's another thing that kind of puzzled me when I first started to read Srila Prabhupada's books. Why all these feet? There's mention of feet all over the place, you know? What is the significance of feet? Lotus feet? I've never seen lotus feet before. Maybe I've seen sexy feet before, but I've never lotus feet. What are we talking about here? But what's really important about giving attention to the feet is that you have to take a humble position. You have to look down. Trinadapi sunichina, tororapi sahishtana, amanina manadina, kirtaniya sadahari. You know, it's always good to take a humble position and to look down. We understand that Hanuman, you know, he never looked at Sita. He just looked somewhere near her feet. He was a brahmachari, by the way, and it wasn't its custom not to, you know, maybe be enticed. So he communicated with her, said, I'll even take you on my back to take you back. It's funny, isn't it? He won't look at her eyes, but I'll take you on my back and we'll go back to Ram for safety. But it was known that he would just always be at the feet. So that's interesting. You know, once these devices came out on the market, I thought, wow, the new generation, they're all humble. They're all going like this. What an advanced group of people. Yes, so that's it. The meditation was so strong by the gopis on the lotus feet of the Lord because they believed in Krishna, they trusted in him, and they got so committed to him. And then he would, because he's a trickster, we all know that. The things that make him smile make others grief-stricken sometimes, you know. And so he would leave. After they becoming very attached to him, they would just leave. So we're getting some messages here from the last verse, 14, which we've been spending a little more time on. They say, Vira, hero, whatever you've done to us, whatever you plan to do, you're always going to be our hero. And by the way, we're in a kind of a disease condition. It's like love sickness. Has anybody been there before? Most of us have. Most people who join the Krishna consciousness movement have had a relationship with somebody and the relationship broke. And you're devastated, right? And that was one of the, let's say, reasons for coming to Krishna consciousness. Your heart was cracked. And it's very funny, you know, in my travels across the U.S. and Canada and the walking ventures, we meet with a lot of yogis. Now, most of the people who practice yoga are women. Some of them are young to middle age that are very active in the yoga society, the yoga circles. And when you get a chance to talk to them, you get to know them just a little bit, say all of them have their hearts broken. And that's another thing. You'll find that. A lot of young people who join the Hare Krishna movement, they had a love affair going on, and their hearts were cracked, and that's why they came to Krishna. So it's not a bad thing. The theme here is separation. That's what it is. Nobody likes separation when something has been going very good. Like, heaven forbid, we don't like to hear about people being separated once they've made a commitment. We don't like to hear the word divorce. When I was a kid, you know, divorce was only something the movie stars did. You know, I talked to some of my god brothers, some of them who joined in New York, whether it's upstate or New York City, and they all had the same experience. They came from like good backgrounds, and their parents, this is the case, they just didn't break off. Divorce, you don't even talk about it, you know? So separation, of course, Prabhupada explained that if there's a very difficult situation, then there should be separation. Maybe not divorce. Try to avoid at all costs. But the separation we're talking about here is about with gopis and the Krishna, and they're very committed, so much in love with each other, and there's a love sickness because they're so deeply committed and attached, and they can't really get close enough. Of course, there's conventional restrictions. Some of these gopis were already betrothed, and they had families and so on like that. So it was very hard to deal with this Krishna who's so incredibly attractive, and that's the meaning of the word Krishna, right? So they're saying that we're sick. We've got COVID, and there's a remedy. Maybe not at the pharmaceutical place, or not where you have to line up and, you know, take a shot. It's not like that. It's a different kind of a shot. The shot of a kiss. Why a kiss? Because, well, and why not? Because the bamboo gets the benefit, the nectar from your lips. And it's just an empty, hollow bamboo stick. And the gopis were wondering, what kind of pious activities did the trees or the parents of the bamboo offer to get this benefit, that their child would be graced by Krishna's lotus lips? So, their argument is, well, if the flute can get it, why can't we get it? And that the medicine is for us to get close to you. Why can't we get close to you? In conjugal pleasure. A pleasure that many of us, I guess, in a spotty way, understood before we came to the movement, before we got heartbroken, right? And so they're saying, you know, you're a rich guy and you're charitable. Yeah. So why don't you give us this opportunity to be close to you so that we can overcome our sickness, overcome the calamity. So to us it's like a herb. It's a cure. And then Krishna makes the remark, according to Vishvanatha Chakravarti Thakur, he's saying that, well, you know, people who are actually attached to all kinds of wealth and possessions and friends and family and so on, this is not going to help them very much. You know, because that's, you're too sick. You're too sick to overcome the problem. But the gopis were very persistent in saying, no, 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 it doesn't matter. We just have to have you near us. So this whole idea about conjugal pleasure, I think most of us can understand it. It's within us because it's within our Creator. We are all wired a little differently, but there's certain elements within us that we all understand quite well, you know. An attachment for the physical body, for the flesh, is one of them. Right? Am I right about that? Yeah. Yes. that's a fact. And so the origin for anything, like even if you study like in-law dynamics, you know, we hear the story of Daksha and Sati and Shiva. That was probably the original in-law dynamic problem, that story. Started with Daksha. And so everything starts from the Vedic stories, right? There was a squirrel sort of running up my screen window. You know, I'm just staying in one of those little units where you just have the air for the night, and there was a squirrel, or chipmunk, you can say, sort of a cross between a chipmunk. He had a tail and he had stripes. So there's a story about, you know, where the first chipmunk got his stripe. It's in the Ramayana. I don't know the details too well, but all the origin, there's a story for everything, you know. How the serpents or cobras or whatever got their poison, they became venomous, you know. That's there when, in the story of the churning of the ocean of milk. And Shiva took this, and there was the churning of the milk, and usually when you churn up something, sometimes poisons surface first, and that's exactly what happened. So all the devatas and the asuras were wondering, what are we going to do? We can't continue on with our project here. We just want some amrit, we just want some medicine. Dhanvantari is maybe around the corner, and all this poison came up. And what to do? And so they, Shiva came. He appeared. And there's another hero. And he came and he drank the poison. And as you know, anytime you take water or any fluid or substance like that, it falls through the cracks. Even Krishna's, we used to call it Krishna's surprise, yogurt, rice, and pieces of fruit mixed together. So we'd have it in here and some of it would just fall out. Or when the merchant came out, and Krishna came to the merchant, they have these carts, and this we're talking about in Vrindavan, and Krishna went out, he imitated his parents and would go and get the grains, and the grains would sift through the fingers like that. So in the same way, Krishna is, I kind of lost my train of thought there, forgive me, maybe you can help me. Krishna is very charitable. Let's go back to that. Krishna is very charitable. He has so much to give. And the gopis are understanding that. Even Prabhupada said, Krishna is a rich man. There's no problem for him. So for us to build temples, to publish books and everything, it's all there. You know, it's there. Like some people say, the money is flying in the air. You just have to catch it. You have to know how to grab it. That's all. You have to know how to talk. You have to know how to communicate with people. And we get all the donations we ever want. It seems that the gopis had a good talk. They had the gift of gab. They knew how to say things to Krishna to make him smile. And to get the most out of him. And of course, there's always, with Krishna, it's never easy. There's always going to be some chat. It's never going to be an easy thing with him. And he just enjoys that. In his talks with Rukmini and Dwarka, it was the same thing. I don't know if you've looked at that recently, but it's a beautiful communication. And Krishna teases like anything. He said, you know, since we're talking about separation and divorce, he says, well, you know, I think we should get a divorce. We should separate. I mean, that's another story about separation. Started from Krishna, right? So he said, you know, because nobody... I'll tell you why. Because there were so many eligible bachelors that you could have had as a mate. And I'm not that kind of person. I'm kind of a vagabond. I'm here, I'm there, I'm all over the place. Nobody can understand my varna. People can't figure it out. I was a coward boy before. Now I'm a little bit of a kshatriya. I'm the mayor of the town here. I'm here, I'm there, I'm all over the place. So, you know, I don't have any real position. So look who you married. So I think we would be better off if we just separated. And of course, she didn't like to hear that. That was devastating. And she fainted right on the spot. You know, I believe the description is like a banana tree when it's hit by a hurricane. It's a boom, like dunderbutt, a dunder coming down. Of course, so this is hard to hear, yet that our God is so cruel. But then Krishna always has a way of, you know, coming to some reconciliation. He always redeems himself. So anyways, she Rukmini comes conscious, said, well, actually, you said some truth there. You're talking about how you don't belong to any varna, and it's true, you're beyond that. And the Lord says, Chaturvarnyamayashrishtam guna karma vibhagashaha, that there are four social and spiritual orders, and Krishna's beyond them. He's beyond everything. He's beyond the triguna, tribir guna mayayara bhavayara, abhi sarvam idam jagat. And nishtray gunya babarjana. Krishna's telling Arjuna, get beyond the three modes of material nature, because Krishna is there. He's beyond them. So we're here in Vrindavan to understand these important points about Krishna, how he's beyond, and how you can be a lover with Krishna, or you can be a friend with him, or you can be even an enemy with him. Not advisable, but it's possible. It happens sometimes. Even in the case of Kamsa, he was a wild, wicked man. And yet at the same time, we understand in the background of it all, he was a great devotee of the Lord. So Krishna will only choose special people to be in his dramas. He handpicks them. He'll take the best out of the crop. He said, I want you to play this role, you to play that. You know, with the agency of Yoga Maya, he puts on a big drama. The whole Mahabharata is a big drama. It's his arrangement, and it's pretty compelling. I mean, most of us have read the whole Mahabharata, and we love the characters, and it's all his doing. And Krishna is a little bit of a trickster. We all like to hear good stories, compelling thrillers, right? But what he does is so... I don't know, he's smart. In the middle of the Bhagavad Gita, which is kind of maybe a bland kind of conversation, or the Mahabharata, which is very compelling, he puts something in there which to some people is very bland, the philosophy. I remember in South Africa, we did this drama, it's called Krishna Is, and we showed little segments of Krishna's lifestyle. And in the middle, I put the Bhagavad Gita. So everything, all the little vignettes we put in there were very, let's say, captivating. And I was looking at the audience, oh yeah, they're excited. When we get to the middle portion of Bhagavad Gita, then... So I said, oh, it's not supposed to be like that. So in this great epic, this great tale of the Mahabharata, a colossal war, a war of the worlds, you can say, fratricidal war, Krishna inserts the message of the Gita, the song, the ultimate song, so that we can feel some kind of relief from the pinpricks of materialistic society. You know, not everybody follows it. Krishna says many people hear about the soul and hear about its praises, its glories, but still they just pass it off, you know, dismiss it. Yeah, I'm not going to do anything about it. Sound interesting, but I'm not going to do much about it. I've got my attachments to deal with. I've got my dharma, and my dharma is to work hard to satisfy my sense gratification. I am still into my stimulation, and it's got to go on for as long as it can until it gets exhausted. So that's the point. I guess we can ask, will I ever become advanced? Will I ever be a gopi or a gopa? And I dare say we don't need to ask those questions right now. We really need to just become a good, humble servant of the Lord, good servant of the devotees, Guru, Krishna, right? And we're kind of failing a lot of times, have you noticed? At least to speak more for myself, right? So that's where we need to go. Let's just be a good das, a good servant. And then everything else will flower, it will manifest. You know? Now, I remember one of our friends was Professor Joseph T. O'Connell. And he's the person who said, he asked Prabhupada the question, Swamiji, can women be gurus? And he said, yes. And he gave some examples, a few, not many, but they can be gurus. And Prabhupada said that right in the room where I live. And so that's interesting. Put that to the side. I hadn't seen Joseph T. O'Connell for quite some time, professor. He'd come to our festivals, whether it was Gaur Purnima or Janmashtami. In fact, in 1978, when I first came to India, my first visit, he went into the Ganga with us at the lunar eclipse at Gaur Purnima. You know, see, he's right there with us. Nice man. He learned Bengali completely. So I hadn't seen him for 2-3 years, and he said, so, Bhakti Mark, what's going on at the temple these days? What's happening? And at that time, I was explaining, well, there's some devotees that are caught up in Gopi Bhav. That means there were devotees were considering what is their Swarup Siddhi, what's their special connection with Krishna in a liberated state. And I said, that's one of the things that's going on right now. So he was just a little startled. Well, you know, knowing the background of Gaudiya Vaishnavism, he just expressed, well, that's what you really have to be concerned about is the present. What's here, what's now. Living for the moment kind of thing. Being attentive to the details of your service. And, you know, I will then say, I'll take you on the road. The first walk that I finished across Canada was in a city called Halifax, Nova Scotia. It's close to where the Titanic sank. Maybe some of you have heard it. And so I had about 3 days left of walking in the province of Newfoundland. But I was in Nova Scotia, Halifax, and a reporter came to interview me about the walk. Why did I walk? That was in 96, the first walk I did. And I was walking for Prabhupada. It was his centenary. So the person came with a tape recorder, you know, about this. Remember those old relics, tape recorders? Yeah. She came and she asked me all the questions. Okay, so why are you doing the walk? And I explained, I'm walking for the spiritual healing of the nation. The world's screwed up. It could be a better place, blah, 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 blah. Right. She asked, how many pairs of shoes does it take for you to walk across Canada? I said, I'm on my fourth pair, and I'll finish with them. You know, and all kinds of questions. And when did you start? Blah, blah, blah. On and on and on. And then she asked a question, said, so now that you're almost finished the walk, what was the greatest thing that happened during the course of your walk? What was the most compelling thing? And I had to think about it. Was it being stalked by a grizzly bear? Was it being bitten by, I was actually, it's embarrassing, dealing with the call of nature, and 7 hornets got in my backside. I stepped in the wrong place. I was just thinking, what was the most important thing? And I just went blank. I really couldn't pinpoint one thing that I thought that was most the most important of all. So then it came to me and said, well, the most important thing about this walk is that You came to me. You're standing in front of me. You're asking me this question. And I'm trying to figure out the answer. That's the most important thing that happened on this walk. And she says, oh, I understand what you're saying. It means living for the moment, being very much in the present. You know, so that's the idea. The idea is to, yeah, kind of like be here now. Be very much in the present. Don't be too futuristic. Don't live so much in the past. Because that's usually the mode of ignorance. You're lamenting about what you lost. Being too far into the future, too much, is a little bit in the fast lane. Rajagun, what's really important is being attentive to details now. Like, how am I doing with my japa? How many of us have been there? How am I doing with Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And when I do that a second time through, maybe the first time, oh, I was so attentive. Second time through, a little distracted here and there. Third time, maybe more distracted. I mean, you know, when do we get to be attentive? Will it ever happen? Will I ever become advanced? And maybe the answer lies in the mercy of the devotees. I can't think of anything other than that. Do I have the right answer? Is it okay? Do I hear you? Is it okay? So we have strong tendencies to, let's say, to diagnose, to analyze, and be a therapist. So I figured everyone, I'm a doctor, I can figure everybody out. But we really need to spend a lot of time looking in the mirror and say, I have a lot of faults. And I've been at this Hare Krishna, whether it's 50 years or 5 days, doesn't matter. I've got faults and I've got to address them and I've got to deal with them. And so we try to do that day after day, like some kind of warrior. Some kind of warrior tackling the issue. And the issue is, I am attached. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki. Okay, it's 9 o'clock. Wow. I thought that was pretty good. Finishing at 9 o'clock. I don't know if I said anything of any worth, but Mr. Admin, what would you say?
The yogis felt a little bit sometimes angry at Krishna and felt that he was causing them too much grief. Or sometimes we feel that too, that you know, it's causing me problems. And or how do we stay focused on the fact that Krishna's in everyone's heart, and not a blade of grass moves without Krishna? But at the same time, we sometimes get maybe discouraged in our devotional service by the actions of what we think others are doing to us in a maybe you know, a way that we don't understand. So, how do we deal with that issue of being angry at Krishna?
Well, I think when you hit a speed bump, it's always an opportunity. Kind of to slow down, to analyze. Like yesterday we were at the Yamuna, one of the devotees I traveled with, he brought his father's ashes to the Yamuna, so we went in one of those boats, and while we were there, a brahmachari that was assisting, helping, said, you know, I'm having a hard time trying to see that this is a holy river because of the garbage, right? So he said, yeah, I understand where you're coming from. I understand this wonderful liquid that you know, we are riding on just went through Delhi. And it's a little, maybe a little hard to see the sacredness behind it. But I just tried to put a positive spin on it. Yes, indeed, it's holy. There's no doubt about that. And if you can feel the vibrations from it, it's so calm and cool. It's such a soothing river, like never any other place I've ever been to. But just putting a better, let's say, look at it, an optimistic look, I just offered to say, well, you know, maybe there's this opportunity for service. Maybe we can find out what we can do as an individual or what we can do as a group to to try to clean up the mess. Opportunity. So if somebody gives you a little bit of a hard time, even a devotee, so-called, what does it mean? How do you read it? I'd say opportunity to put straw in my teeth. An opportunity to be humble. Yes, Prabhu, you're right. Or partially right. Whatever. No. So I think it's opportunity is the best thing. Opportunity, service, they are synonymous to one another. So if things are rough, it wasn't that easy to get this structure up here, right? We read about it in the pastimes of Srila Prabhupada, but it wasn't easy. But the devotees were, you know, steadfast. I just got to keep plugging away. I have to keep moving ahead. Was it easy for Arjuna on the battlefield to deal with matters? Once he said, yes, I'm going forward. No, it wasn't easy. Wasn't it easy at all? But he understood, he had that sense of duty and responsibility. So if you have responsibility, that means you have activity. The worst thing is to not have anything to do. You know, that is the most wretched thing that anybody can have in their life. So, and it oftentimes works that way. Hey, everything's kind of nice right now. I had a nice prasadam and everything like, and then suddenly some problem comes your way. Oh, yeah, that's just Krishna helping you to keep on your feet. Opportunity. Hare Krishna. Anybody else? We have an opportunity now to manger, eat prasadam. Thank you so much for listening. Srila Prabhupada ki. Hare Krishna.
This is all about Swami ki.
Hare Krishna.